Some years ago, there was a preacher who did a particular poll. Now, I don't know who he was or how long ago it was or exactly how he managed to do it. But he did come up with some figures that make very startling reading. He was talking about how many people on average came to know the Lord. I think it was Canada. How many people came to know the Lord after a certain age? And he concluded in his thinking and in his poll that after the age of 25, it was never more than an average of 1 in 1,000. And after the age of 35, there were approximately 10 people, or sorry, 1 in 10,000 who came and were converted. And also after the age of 55, that there was 1 in 45,000 that come to know the Lord. Now, tonight I cannot really talk about the great accuracy of the findings of that man and his poll. But it certainly brings to our attention this evening that what he came up with is anything near accurate. Among men and women all around us, just as there were all around him over in Canada, there is no urgency regarding the need of their soul as far as they are concerned. People seem to show a degree of urgency regarding other things. There are many people who their life's ambition is to get rich quick. The Lord knew about that. And he talked about woe to rich men. Not that there's anything wrong with riches in themselves, but people made it their life's ambition just to get stuff and things and as quickly as they possibly could. Perhaps you have met them as I have, and there is a great urgency about them. And there are legitimate things that you and I see that there's an urgency about. And them things in themselves may be very important. But I want to say tonight that as far as the future is concerned, those who are not urgent or do not see their case as urgent and do not see the urgency of making their peace with God need to understand one thing. Even if you don't listen to any more of this message, remember this, that you certainly will, as I will, we will have a very certain future somewhere. A very certain future somewhere. Eternal joy awaits every Christian. For some reason or other, and only the Lord really knows, it has always been the case down through the years that very often believers have their share of struggles. Sometimes financially, very often in the physical realm, or even in the mental or emotional realm. And in the realm of everyday life, they have their share of trials. But eternal joy that is unshakable and unmovable, lies down the road for every single converted man and woman. That is something that is absolutely certain. And that certain future is there for those who are saved. But as I read Revelation chapter 20, it is brought to our attention here the future of those who do not trust the Lord. The tail end of this chapter brings to our attention verses, folks, of warning, verses of challenge, verses that God the Holy Spirit surely has put in place here that men might consider them well. and that they might realise that while other things may in some degree be urgent, that this is the most urgent thing. To make sure that it's right, things are right between them and God. To make sure that they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. To make sure that they've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. And I want this evening now for a while to draw your attention to this message that I have entitled Certain Future Things. Certain Future Things. I want you to notice, first of all, that there will be a future facing. A future facing. Look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, it's important there to note that they were not judged, would not be judged according to their hope, or judged according to their honesty, or their integrity, or anyone else's perception of them. But they were judged according to what God found. Because it says there, they were judged according to their works, and really meaning what they'd done with him. And in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man, again it says, according to their works. Here's one of these chapters that reminds us that hell is a real place. And it's showing to us tonight that there are men and women who have died and sadly will die as Christ rejecters. I want to say to you tonight, you better believe in hell. It's not a popular subject. We know that some people recoil when you mention it, and it is certainly one that is not easy to preach about because we can never fully preach the awfulness of it, but hell awaits the Christ rejecter. More than that, hell is not full. Hell is not full tonight. There's room for others there. And very sadly, there are people in hell who never did expect to be there. People in hell who were waiters. They were waiting. And they were thinking that one day, here's a matter that I need to get settled. Way back when I was, shortly after I was first saved, I remember going to a gospel mission in a tent, and the man that was preaching there, he happened to say in his message, he said, "Dear listener, if you think tonight that you have a loved one who's gone from this scene of time and they were not saved and you just want to be where they are," he said, "I understand your feeling of loss, and I certainly understand your feeling of that great desire to be with your loved one who is now gone. But I want to tell you this, that if that loved one was not saved, they do not want you to come where they are." And then he drew their attention to Luke 16, to the rich man in hell. And folks, in that meeting, there was a man who I knew who, without being judgmental, everybody knew, he didn't have a great reputation as far as honesty and uprightness was concerned. And I remember looking over at him, and he was singing his heart out in the mission, looking at the little booklet that we were given on the way in. And I was amused to see him there, and I happened to mention after the mission to another younger man, much younger man, that this person was in the mission. He knew him too. I said it in order that it might prompt a conversation with the younger man. And he said, "Was he?" And then he turned around, and I've never forgotten what he said. He said, you know, I believe, and he named him, he says, will be saved sometime before he dies. And I thought those are amazing words coming from a non-saved man. A non-saved man talking about the man who was in the mission. He'd heard the gospel before, I'd known that much. But he was waiting. And it is very sobering tonight for me to share with you that not very long after that, just a few years, that younger man went out into eternity with no profession at all. And then just a few years ago, the older man who had been in the mission, he also left this scene of time with no testimony. So folks, you had this older man in listening to the gospel simply and clearly and faithfully preached. He was waiting. But the younger man, who thought that the older man would one day be saved, he was waiting too. And folks, they're both gone. And there's not one person on this earth who has any shred of evidence that there's any repentance or any conversion with either of them. I asked you tonight, are you a waiter? Are you one who is waiting? Remember, there are those people in hell who did not expect to be there. These verses 12 and 13 remind us of a future facing of God. Having been called to stand before the Lord, there are those who are waiters, but there are those who are wishers. And you've heard the argument before, oh, I wish I was a Christian. I don't know what the reason for people saying that is, but I know this, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And men and women tonight, we're here to encourage you to not be a waiter or a mere wisher. But realize one day that if you die without Christ, again in the future, there will be that time when you will fit into the category here in verses 12 and 13. If I can look at what it says in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 24, and Matthew 24, the Lord here is speaking about the end of time. And in verse 36 of Matthew 24, it says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. We have emphasized before the importance of not listening to time setters. We know that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, but we don't know when that is. He knows. Don't listen to those who give you dates and that kind of thing. And verse 38 is the verse where we're starting tonight. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Here is a picture of division and despair. It is a confirmation of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached heaven, but more than that, he preached hell. And here he is confirming it, that one will be taken and another will be left. That's the confirmation of all of his teaching regarding the necessity to come and trust him. But look at the characteristics that are here. This is a sure thing. Noah preached the flood and they laughed. We preach the gospel and people still laugh. They still laugh. And the sureness of it is that God has said that he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. A day that is in God's calendar that you and I don't know, but it's dead sure. There's a sureness of this coming, this day of despair and division, but its swiftness, because it talks there about two being in the field, the one taken and the other left. The thought there of things happening very, very quickly. And surely there's a solemnness about it. People love their families and hate separation. That's a natural thing. We hate it even if they go on holiday. We hope they have a good holiday, but we're glad to see them back. But men and women, we're talking here about something much more than that, of a separation that will never be rectified, that will be eternal. And surely there's confirmation here of all of Christ's teaching, the characteristics of this coming day. We've mentioned that. But then there's calamity, because in each case, there's one going to be with the Lord and there's one that is not. And the day that we're speaking of here in Matthew chapter 24, you can't stop it. Whatever advance mankind may make with his ingenuity, you can't change it. And surely tonight you're not foolish enough to deny it. I wonder this evening, as you think about certain future things, there's very many things about the future we're not certain about. We know that. But as you think about certain future things, have you thought about this future facing the Lord? For those who die without the Savior. Something that you need to consider well, and you need to consider it now. But there's not only the thought here of future facing. There is here the thought, if you look at verse 13, where it says there, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up, and the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works." This reminds us of a future judging. The time is coming when it will be well with believers. We've mentioned that. Christian, you will be rewarded. You'll be rewarded for your tireless work with the children, for whatever you seek to do for the Lord. Our sins, if we've trusted him, were judged in Christ. But if you haven't come to trust the Lord and you die without him, remember this, that while through your lifetime you may hear that God in love sent Christ to the cross, provided through the blood of his son a way of reconciliation for you, and you did not apply that message, appropriate that message to you individually by coming as a sinner to Jesus, you will be judged in the way that we're looking at here in verse 13. And men and women, for folk who are judged in that day, there will be no answer. If you are not a Christian when you die, and I know I'm talking about solemn things tonight, but they're very necessary, and we are reminded today again and yesterday and nearly every day of the certainty of death. If you're not a Christian when you die, then you will die with your guilt. And whatever number of years may pass, your guiltiness will never change. Some of you may have noted during these past weeks, and we take no pleasure in the death of human beings, but we certainly do believe that justice is right. And there are people who commit heinous crimes. And in Oklahoma, I think it was, just during these past days, someone there who'd been on death row for a long, long time was executed. You see, when they were first arrested, they were guilty. They were guilty before that, in fact. They were guilty when they committed the crime. They were guilty when they were arrested. They were guilty all through those years in jail. And nothing changed. And then they were executed. Because they had no answer that was any different from their answer at the start when they were confronted with their crime. And in this book, we're seeing here in verse 13 that there will be those who will judge every man according to their works. There will be no answer, but there will be no argument that stands. Over again in Matthew chapter 7, we have people who, and you cannot read this, Christian, without feeling compassion and without feeling a great desire to reach out and win as many as you can, or at least be a link in the chain of seeing men and women won to the Lord. It says there in verse 21 of Matthew 7, and again the Lord Jesus is speaking, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And it is God's will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's man's responsibility. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Ye that work iniquity. And men and women at the judgment, when God looks upon you, if you're not saved, he will not say to you, there's a time for rethinking. The time you need to think is right now. Just as you are, you need to think about the seriousness of the matter now. There will be no time for reprioritizing. And I know I've mentioned this before, and I've preached it. I've mentioned it in other congregations when I've been preaching. Robert Mitchell and I were in Ballinderry once years ago on a door, and there's a very nice young fellow talking to us at the door. And one of us said to him, "Well, did you ever think about becoming a Christian yourself?" And he said, "It wouldn't be high on my priority list." I've never forgotten that. It should be. And men and women, in this day, there'll be no time for rethinking, no time for reprioritizing, and no time for repenting. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. This is not a figment of my imagination or something that we want to talk to you about to put in a half an hour. This is a future thing. It's a future thing. And it is, men and women, it's a future judgment. Because you can read the verses there again carefully for yourself in Revelation chapter 20. It is a future judgment. So when we think here of certain future things, you think of a future facing the Lord. Christians have many reasons, many of them, to love life and to seek to make the best of life and to do what they can. And there are things that we hold dear in life. And all of those things are very natural for us. But every Christian knows, and I've spoken to those who were very sick and they had maybe hardly any family left and their body was weary and they just said, "Mr. Saul, I just want to go to be with the Lord." And when they did go to be with the Lord, they saw him face to face. They entered into their rewards, but this is a different facing for you if you're not saved. A future facing, we've mentioned that, a future judgment. But notice also, and we've touched upon this, there is a future, and I want you to really think about this tonight, there is a future eternal separation. Look at verse 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." I'll read verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Preaching about God's love is important. It warms my heart thinking about it and preaching about it and listening to other men preaching about it. And it is important. It is edifying. It is very, very important. We preach it to the unsaved. But we must preach the certainty of hell and what it will mean for men and women who go there. Billy Sunday, I think it was, who was a man who was greatly used of the Lord. And he was a man who was quite humorous at times. And on one occasion, at least, he put it this way. When he was trying to get men and women who were listening to him to see sin for what it was, to face up to the urgency of their case and to deal with those who tried to rationalize their sin and really wanted to hold on to it, but they wanted a wee bit of assurance that it was well between them and the Lord as well. They wanted both. And Billy Sunday said this. He said, "You can't love flowers unless you hate weeds. You can't love flowers unless you hate weeds." And he turned and said to them, "You cannot love God unless you hate sin. And if you hate sin, you need to turn from it now." I don't know whether they did or not. But I know the same message is applicable tonight. You can't love flowers if you don't hate weeds. You can't love God and hold on to your sin. You need to let go of your sin. Turn your back upon your sin. And I'm asking you tonight again, folks, are you ready for this day? Are you ready for the time that we're reading of there in the Revelation? It says there in Matthew chapter 22, if we go to that, please, just quickly, Matthew chapter 22, it's the story here of the marriage supper. And it says, and when the king came in to see the guests, verse 11, he saw a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This man was not ready for the marriage supper. He was not robed in the way that he needed to be robed in order to be at that supper. And folks, there is one robe provided in the Word of God, and it is the righteousness of Christ. And one of the Puritans long ago put it this way. They said that Christ, concerning Christ, they said he hideth our unrighteousness with his righteousness. And the wrath of God cannot find us. He hideth our unrighteousness with his righteousness, and the wrath of God cannot find us. And to me tonight, you needn't talk anyone about having this righteousness if you have never repented and trusted the Lord. You cannot earn it or work it up. You must repent, turn from your sin, and receive him. Book of Revelation chapter 21, I'll read you there what it says. That's another very startling verse. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And folks, remember what we read earlier on about the two women grinding at the mill, maybe sisters or close associates, and now they're separated. And that day of separation is coming. That day of separation is coming, and I trust that as far as our families are concerned, that the circle will be unbroken. That circle will be unbroken for you and for me. What I've sought to present to you tonight is a very bleak picture of future things. Things that are in the future for those who die without the Lord. But I have one thought tonight as I finish with this. It is future hope. Future hope. God has spurred you to listen to the gospel again. And tonight his message to you is the same as it's always been, that you must be born again. That you must be reconciled to God, from whom now you are separated by sin. Nothing else will do. And I wonder this evening, as you consider the seriousness of the text tonight, and whether you want to look at it this way or not, it is shows us the urgency of your case. Certain future things, a certain facing, that day will come for sure. A future judgment, that day will come. A future eternal separation. But here's a thought of future hope, and you can have this hope tonight. You can have it now if you will but come and trust the Lord. Give me tonight one reason why you should turn your back upon the Lord again. The man one time called Hobbes, and he was very well educated. And he was one of these fellows who took it upon himself to write against the Bible. And he wrote a book that was denying the efficacy of the gospel of Christ. How it was all a farce. And how it was just a figment of the imagination of those who thought, who cared to believe it. Nothing more than that. And it is believed that coming near the end of the book, he was actually troubled about what he was writing. And you know what he wrote at the end of the book? After he'd taken the time and done the research as far as he was concerned, and he was now writing his publication on denying the efficacy of the gospel. In fact, just denying that gospel preaching makes any difference at all, or the gospel can do anything for men and women. This is what he said at the end. He said, "I am taking a fearful leap into the dark." And so he was. "I am taking a fearful leap into the dark." If you go out into the night without Christ, you may never darken the door of a gospel meeting again. And wherever you're listening on sermon audio, this could be your final opportunity. In fact, every time that a man or woman turns their back upon the Lord and doesn't see the urgency of their case, they're taking a fearful leap into the dark. But I mention it again, hope is there tonight for you. If you will deal with pride or whatever it is that's holding you back, and this moment put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help you to do that, and we trust that you will do that tonight.